in sincerity. James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 16. I might slow down a little bit tonight, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
And just kind of do some kind of preaching, teaching to you tonight. But this is just where I felt like going. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Oh, we're familiar with this verse of scripture. It's not one that's unfamiliar to us. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And then, of course, here this classic passage is where I want to focus our attention here tonight. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, that's not gender specific there. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I know some wonderful, godly, praying woman, women, amen, who could get it done. Amen.
That's right.
I'm glad for it.
That's right.
And then I've known some young people that could really pray and get it done. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon, they asked him, they said, which is more important, prayer or Bible reading? And Charles Spurgeon looked at them and said, can you tell me which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Amen.
That's
amen.
Good.
One without the other doesn't work very well, does it? Amen, friend. Hallelujah. Even some people get caught up in their Bible reading and their Bible study, and that's fine. That's a good thing. Amen. But if you are doing a bunch of that and no prayer or very little prayer, amen, you need to take a good long look at what you're doing and say, I'm only breathing one direction. I need to breathe the other. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. I believe tonight that all of us want to know, amen, God answering prayer in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. We want to know that.
Yeah.
But the question that comes up when we talk about that is, are we willing to do, amen, what God wants us to do? Are we willing to follow the biblical formula, amen, set down in the scripture for successful praying?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid there are a lot of people that want God to answer their prayer, but they're not willing to do it God's way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
They think that God's a big Santa Claus in heaven that they can write their list out to and put it, you know, in care of the North Pole and off they go. Amen. It doesn't work that way, friend.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So if we want God to respond to our petitions, amen, they must be done in His way. Amen. There are examples of successful praying men and women in Scripture. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, I tell you, I'm only going to talk to you tonight, amen, about this text, but boy, there's a lot of other instances, amen, in the Scripture, amen, that talked to us very clearly about prayer, what it should be like. There are people in Scripture who are praying individuals that we need to imitate. And I don't mean in a bad way. I'm saying we need to imitate them, amen, in a way because they got the job done.
Right.
Can you imagine if Daniel would have given up on day 20, Brother Kyle? If he had said, man, I've done this long enough, Brother East, but I'm not getting an answer. The heavens are brass and God doesn't care. And he just threw in the towel and quit. Amen. He'd have never had that angelic visitor that said, I heard you the first day. I heard you the first time. Amen. God heard you the first time, but I was hindered in the heavenlies. Amen. From getting to you. Amen. All praise God. Mm. He's only one example. One example, amen, of great praying people that we can imitate, emulate, whatever you want, a word you want to plug in there today. Amen. There are formulas that are given. There are conditions, amen, that we must meet, amen, amen, to have God answer our prayer in the way that we see in the Scripture. Amen. True prayer, dear friend, is not for the casual inquirer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
True prayer is not for the casual inquirer.
That's
true prayer is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul said, I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus. That didn't sound like a late now I lay me down to sleep, does it?
No.
I mean, I know he wasn't talking about literal beasts. He was talking about demonic powers.
Yeah.
Brother Eastman. Amen. He dove in there, amen, tooth and nail, and clawed his way through the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, through a horde of demonic powers, amen, to get the job done. Amen. James here in our text has several things to say about prayer. Amen. And we need to listen to it and pay attention. Amen. There are other places in his epistle, amen, that he addresses the subject of praying or asking. Amen. And we need to there again make application for what James has to say. Amen. Prayer is something that God intends to accomplish something.
Yeah,
amen. Wait, come on now. It isn't a "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, blah, blah, blah. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among men." Come on now.
Yeah.
My Bible says that's vain repetition.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, just say amen. It's truth. That's vain repetition, and it accomplishes nothing. But I'm afraid sometimes what we even may do as Pentecostal folks may not be a whole lot better. Amen.
It might
be some vain repetition. God intends for prayer to accomplish something. God intends for prayer to get the job done. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody says, "Well, God can do it whether I pray or not." You bet your life he could. But he says, ask. He says, pray.
That's right.
Petition. Come on now. Why? Because God wants us to use this tool called prayer. Mm-hmm. Look at the example of the master who would rise in the morning before daybreak and steal away. Jesus had to pray. Amen, friend. I don't know if he had to or not, but he did it as an example
for
you and for me tonight. Amen. Amen. Friend, it is not an unreasonable thing here tonight to think that James, do you realize who James was? He was the half-brother of the Lord. Mm. That's who this James was.
Yeah.
Do you ever think he saw Jesus pray? Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
He lived under the same roof, Brother Kyle. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, amen, Brother Eastman, that there were times that this man, James, saw his half-brother Jesus praying and petitioning God. Amen. And I'm sure that it left, amen, a mark upon him of what prayer was to be like. Amen. As an example, amen, there in James chapter 4, amen. And verse 1, the Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even out of your lusts that war against your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight, and ye war." Amen. "And yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Amen. Hallelujah. "Ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Amen. Amen. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Amen. James here expounds the reason, amen, of why we need to be praying. Amen. And because, amen, if we fail to ask, amen, a friend, you know, when we look around and say, "Well, I don't have, this isn't happening, that isn't happening," amen. And James says, "You're not asking."
Yeah.
"You're not asking. Well, why doesn't God do this, or why doesn't God do that?" You're not asking.
Yeah.
You're not asking, friend. Amen. And then sometimes we wonder why our prayers are impotent and powerless, and they accomplish little or anything. And James lets us know here, amen, that our prayers, if we're not careful, they can be very self-centered.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
"Oh, God. Amen. I really wish you would do this for me. I'd really like to have this." You'd ask yourself, do you really need this?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. James says, sometimes your prayers are not answered because you want to consume it upon your own lust, your own selfish personal desire. Amen. Friend, we fail to ask. And then sometimes we ask amiss. Amen. Hallelujah. They are our own passionate desires and not the will of God. But I want to bring us back around here, friend, amen, to my text of scripture that I've read to you here today, amen, and talk to you here about some of the ingredients, amen, that James talks to us about prayer. Somebody says, Brother Hawkins, is supposed to be a revival. Listen to me, friend. Amen. Chronicles tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and
pray.
Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal their land. I'll tell you, friend, if America's ever needed healing, it's
now.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Now. Amen. Whether you're talking about division in politics or among races, whether you're talking about, amen, the fentanyl crisis and all the other drugs that are still, amen, coursing through our systems in this, in our society, whether you're talking, and I tell you, we got to the place that we don't even say much about alcohol anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. And don't fall out with me here today, but I think Brother Eastman and I were talking about it the one day we were riding together. Amen. Yeah, marijuana's a bad thing, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. Don't fall out with me here. I'd rather be around a pot smoker than I would a serious alcoholic.
Yeah.
Go on now.
Yeah.
Not that I'm condoning smoking dope. Amen. But man, most of those people just mellow out. Man, I've been around some vicious alcoholics.
Yeah.
Vicious individuals. Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. We want to talk about gun violence in America. What about all the people that get killed on the highway? Amen. If some alcoholic drives down the road, and oh, you won't hear about that. Somebody's making too much money, aren't they?
Amen.
Well, come on now.
Right.
Amen. Our nation needs to be healed.
Yeah.
Amen.
From the top to the bottom.
Amen.
Our nation needs healing. Amen. And God says, if my people will do something, if they'll first of all humble themselves, what's the problem with that? Most of us don't want to humble ourselves to the place that we admit we need God's help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. Friend, it's humbling to say, God, I need you.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. But if we'll humble ourselves, if we will seek His face in prayer. Amen. If we'll do it, amen, the way He wants it done, amen, He says, I will hear you. I'll forgive. I'll heal. I'll begin to work. Amen. Praise God. Oh, how we need to get back to this place. Amen. Where we are praying and praying God's way. Amen. But let me look here tonight at a few things that James says. I want to help us here tonight because prayer is an essential part of revival.
Amen.
Amen. At least lasting revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you can have an emotional lift around an altar where you feel good. Come on now. I'm not criticizing. I love the moving of the Spirit. I love to feel the Spirit.
Yeah.
But you can have an emotional lift around an altar where you feel good.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, prayer is the thing that will keep you.
Yeah.
Prayer is the thing that will establish you into the future. So what does James say here? Amen. He says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's first of all look at this word effectual. Now, if you are somebody who prefers one of the more modern versions of the Bible over the King James, amen, I won't go into that tonight. I am a King James user. I believe that it is the most accurate translation of the Bible that we have in Israel, or in English, excuse me. Amen. The most accurate translation. But a lot of the modern versions, they will either do one of two things. They will eliminate this word effectual, or they will put a note in the side margin that it is just repetitive, redundant, and you don't need it. It means the same thing as the word fervent. They're wrong. They're wrong.
Amen.
Okay? They're dead wrong. Okay? And I'm going to show you tonight, amen, that it is not just redundant and repetitive of the word fervent. Amen. The word effectual, friend, is talking about what prayer accomplishes in us, amen, before God ever uses it to change anything else. Come on now.
Amen.
What are you talking about, Brother Hawk? I'm going to try to help you here tonight. Because listen, friend, prayer, first of all, has to deal with us.
Yeah.
Before it ever deals with anything outside
yeah.
of us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
all feel the witness of the Spirit
yeah.
of
yes.
tonight. Amen.
Yes.
Prayer has got to do something in here before it ever does anything outside of us. And that's probably some of the reason why, amen, that we don't see much accomplished in prayer. Because we don't let prayer do anything in here, first of all. Amen. All praise God. Amen. First of all, prayer has got to do some things in here. It's got to sanctify us. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Prayer's got to sanctify us. Amen. It's got to deal with our desires and our motives. Amen. James has already told us here. Amen. You don't have certain things when you pray because you're asking amiss. Amen.
Yes.
And we need some sanctified motives. We need some sanctified desires.
Yeah.
Amen. That will produce
yes.
sanctified requests.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It might not be God's will for you to buy that big $1 million home. I was going to say $500,000 with what's happened to real estate in the last few years. $500,000 is a drop in the bucket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be God's will for you to own that big $1 million home and that piece of property. Come on now, because he knows you have to work all that extra overtime and it'll take you out of the church and out of the house of God and rob you of your joy and your peace.
Yeah.
Woo, hallelujah. I told that's why nobody's here tonight. They are hardly anything. I've got already killed it all.
Oh, no,
last
no, no.
Service. I meddled too much. Amen.
Oh,
I'm trying to help folks.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It might not be God's will, amen, for you to buy that brand new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But Brother Hawk, all my buddies got one. Amen. I mean, they all show up to work in their big brand new blah, whatever it is, and here I am driving in my old puddle jumper. Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Be quiet on me.
All right.
It might not be God's will. Amen.
Yeah.
This or that. And I'm not talking about things that are contrary to the Bible. It might not be God's will. So this word effectual is talking about how prayer, first of all, conforms us to the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And listen, friend, if that doesn't happen, then we cannot pray specifically before the face of God.
Mm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Can I say a little bit here tonight? I'm not trying to make enemies. I'm just going to tell you something. Coming to an altar and praying a bunch of vague prayers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. If it is your will, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of that is pure laziness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I can see some of you now.
No,
I want
right.
someone to come tonight. A lot of that is pure laziness. Because we're not willing to pray until we know the will of God. And then pray the will of God, Brother Kyle. So we do this lazy thing and say, oh God, whatever your will is, let it be done.
Mm.
How do you know if God answers that prayer?
Yeah.
How do you know if God answers your prayer like that? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let me go a little bit further. I've had people in the past like this. Amen. Prayer is not coming to an altar and saying Jesus' name 500 times. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on, I've known people like that. That's not prayer.
Right.
That's laziness.
Yeah.
Oh, there are times when I'm praying I might say Jesus' name several times in a row. But
yeah.
to spend 10 or 15 or 20 minutes just repeating the name of Jesus over again. And I love the name of Jesus. But that's laziness.
Yeah.
Ah, don't you love me?
Yeah.
I hope I can help you tonight.
That's right.
In your praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Look what the Bible says there. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. How many of you like to do things confidently?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Sister Eastman had confidence in me today. Amen. We came back, was coming back for meeting. We stopped, and Brother Eastman had to get out and take the church van. Amen. And she said, Brother Hawk, you drive the rest of the way home. Well, she don't know how I drive. She don't know how I drive. And there I sat behind that Ford Flex, revved it up, squealed the tires. No, I didn't do that. Amen. But down the road we went. She put some confidence in me. Amen. And I was a tiny little bit apprehensive. You're driving somebody else's car, driving a vehicle I'd never driven before. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, within just moments, I felt comfortable driving. I like to do things I feel confident about.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And what is John telling us here? That when we go to the place of prayer, we can have a confidence about us.
Yeah.
I like to pray that way. I like to pray knowing that I know the will of God. And I'm praying the will of God. Hallelujah. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to what?
His will.
Lord, Thy will be done. Whatever your will is. How is that praying according to His will?
Get the mind of God.
It's not. Right, Brother Kyle. Get the mind of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to tell you, often where the mind of God starts is right here.
Yeah.
I was sharing with our sis, and I'm terrible with names. Amen. Kyle and Brookstraw. I was sharing after church with her this morning. Amen. Several years ago, a friend of mine brought to my attention the scripture. Amen. Where Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Brought to my attention, he said, Brother Hawk, look there, it's a dividing line. Listen, friend, if something is stealing from you, if something is killing you, if something is destroying you, I don't care if it's physically, I don't care if it's emotionally, I don't care if it's mentally, I don't care if it's financially, it's not God.
Right, that's right.
How can I say that with confidence? I know the book.
Yeah.
Come on now. I know the word of God. It might be God's will for me to stop. Come on now. It's killing you. It's stealing.
Right.
It's robbing your joy. It's robbing your peace. It's robbing your effectiveness. That's not God.
Yeah.
Because He came to give life.
Yeah.
And not just life.
Oh, come on.
But to give it more.
That's abundantly. Right.
Hallelujah. All praying. Hallelujah. He goes back to what I was talking to you the other night about the covenant. We need to know who we are in God.
That's
and
right.
We need to know the promises that He has given us. Hallelujah. And we need to stand on them and take Him at His word when we pray. So if we ask according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. My God, what a promise. What a promise.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. You know, I've often thought about this. Brother Kyle, there's two reasons why people are bold. One, they're bold because they're arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at Brother Eric the other day. I said, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. Being his arrogant self, he said, I love you, Brother Eric. Amen. He said, you're just saying that because you're little and trying to make yourself feel good. No, no, really, Brother Eric is very humble. But yeah, you ever met an arrogant person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Yep. And sometimes I just relish when those arrogant people fall on their face. You know what I mean? We had a guy show up at a picnic, church picnic years ago, and he showed up and he was getting ready to play a game of horseshoes. And Brother Kyle, he said, oh man, I'm the cat's meow when it comes to horseshoes, buddy. I know I can just throw rings around anybody. Amen. So we started playing. He couldn't hit the side of the barn. Come on now. Well, he said, you don't have regulation shoes. That's the problem. I'm used to regulation shoes. My buddy Glenn had a set of regulation shoes in the bed of his pickup truck. And he went over, Brother Eastman, got those regulation shoes and brought them out. He still couldn't hit the side of the barn. Some people are bold because they're arrogant. Come on now. They think way too much themselves. But you listen to me tonight. When you come before God arrogantly, my Bible says God resisteth the proud. I don't watch football anymore. I don't give two hoots, not in the slightest. But I grew up watching Pittsburgh Steelers football. I remember them old guys back in the day doing a stiff arm. I remember the football move called stiff arm. That running back's running down that field, and there comes a tackler. Brother Cowley stiff arms, and he can't get to it. He stiff arms this one, he stiff arms that one, and makes his way down the field. And that's what I like to think about that verse. God resisteth the proud. You come before God arrogantly and proud, and you know what you're going to get from God? You're going to get the stiff arm. And he said, Oh, no. You ain't coming to me like that.
Yeah.
But you listen to me tonight, dear friend. There's another way or another reason why we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and that is a thing called assurance. Amen. Some people are proud because they're arrogant, Brother Eastman. Some people are bold because they're arrogant. Some people are bold because they've got an assurance.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When we come to God in prayer, if we are His child, oh, come on now. If we're praying according to His will, in faith, we can come boldly to the throne of grace with an assurance, God. You said this in your word. You promised this is what your word declares. I don't come to you, Lord, on any self-merit. I come to you in the merit of Jesus Christ. And here is my petition.
Hallelujah. Mm. Yeah.
Come on now. Little Hadassah. Little Esther. Amen. You know the story. Amen. Old Haman's hell-bent on destroying all the Jews, Brother Kyle. Amen. Her uncle Mordecai goes to her. She's queen now. And he goes, he says, "Dearie, you're the one who needs to go." Oh, but Uncle Mordecai, I haven't been called. The king hasn't summoned for me. Come on now. That's serious business. Amen. No, it wasn't the island of perpetual tickling that she would have went to. Nobody in here knows what baby tells are, do they? Amen. She would have been vanquished or even worse. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. She's hesitant. I can't blame her.
Yeah.
But when she musters, some assurance in her. When she knows that there's some people fasting and praying to back her up. Amen. What does she do? She goes before that king. And I love it. The Bible says that he holds out the golden scepter to her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you think she ever worried about going before him again?
No.
No, sir. Amen. Brother Eastman, every other time she comes, I guarantee you she probably came right into the throne room. Hi, dear. Amen. I need something from you. And his heart went, bum, 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 bum. Isn't she beautiful? What do you want, dear? I'll give you half the kingdom. Well, just don't ask for my hunting and fishing ground. But the other half you can have. No, I'm gonna put that in. Come on now. Amen. We can come boldly to the throne of grace tonight when we will let prayer be effectual in us. When we know that our requests are aligned with the will of God. Come on now. When we know that our prayers are aligned with the will of God, we know that He will hear us. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, who does James give to us as an example here in this text that I read to you originally? Let me get back here. I'm still in John. Who does James give to us as his example? I know we got his New Testament name here, but you should know his Old Testament name. He is the prophet.
Elijah.
Thank you, sis. You're the one paying attention. Not Jesus. I know she's not. We've got an example here of the man Elijah. Now follow me here through this little shuffle. All right, what does James say about him? He's using him as an example of this type of praying. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions, as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now let's look here a little bit. Now I'm talking to you here about this word effectual. Effectual fervent prayer. Amen. James sets up as an example for us the prophet Elijah. Man, what a man of God he was.
Yeah.
You better be worried he didn't like you. Fire might come down out of heaven. And you were a pile of ashes.
You know,
yeah. Amen. He was bold. He was brazen. Oh, there were times he kind of, chickened out a little bit. But most of the time, amen. Hey, Brother Easton, he's a powerful man of God. Amen. Amen. And look what he says about him there. He says he was a man subject to like passions. What is he saying? He's saying Elijah didn't run around in a Superman cape, snacking on kryptonite crackers for lunch.
Yeah.
Come on now. He wasn't Superman.
That's right.
He was a man of like passions. He was a man who, if you pinched him, he probably said, "Oh, don't stop that." If you walk by and you kicked him in the shins, he probably said, "Oh, what are you doing?" You know? Amen. When it got lunchtime every day, his stomach probably growled like yours does.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's right.
Amen. And why am I telling you this? Amen. Because he prays, "Heavens, stop raining for 3.5 years. Now listen, Brother Hawk, if you think for 1 second Elijah wanted a 3.5 year drought, you're crazy. Who in their right mind would want a 3.5 year drought?
Right.
Nobody. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be affected by it. Amen?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. See, sometimes in the summertime when it dries up, I really hate to see the grass burn out, Brother Kyle. I'd rather mow it. I hate to see old brown grass. I hate to see the corn drooping and the leaves of the trees drooping and the creeks drop down to that level. But 3.5 years? If you think that Elijah wanted that, you're nuts. Come on.
Yeah.
But the God of heaven wanted it.
Yeah.
I hope you're getting this here today. The God of heaven wanted a 3.5 year drought. And you know what Elijah did? Amen. He said, "God, it's not my will here. Amen. It's your will." Amen. And prayer did in Elijah. Come on now. It conformed him to the will of God. Amen. Before Elijah was able to pray, "Stop!" He had to first of all be conformed to the will of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And then I'm sure he probably breathed a massive sigh of relief 3.5 years later when God said, "Okay, now you change this thing. Reverse it." Amen. He probably, amen, really was relieved. Amen. All praise God, friend. Amen. Amen. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? "Father, not my will. Not my will. Thine." If you think it was enjoyable to the physical body of Jesus to go to the cross, friend, you've got some odd ideas in your head. He felt every bit of it.
Yeah, that's
right. It was miserable. And on top of it, he knew that he was taking the sins of every vile individual upon his shoulders to the cross. But he prays, "Father, not my will, amen, but thine be done." Amen. Praise the Lord. So prayer, first of all, amen, has to conform you and I to the will of God. How many of you remember hearing a lot of them old-time Christians talk about praying through?
Yeah.
I'll tell you how it started. They prayed to the place, amen, that they knew the mind and the will of God.
Yeah.
And then they could pray the will of God into existence.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. We've got to conform, amen, to the will of God, amen, before, amen, we can pray the way we should. Let me rush on here tonight. Amen. The next thing, of course, that James mentions is that word fervent. Amen. It literally means the idea of praying with zeal. It is prayers that are hot. It is prayers that are alive. Amen. Friend, when we know the will of God, amen, we can lay aside all that vague, vain, empty praying that we do that accomplishes nothing, and we can begin to pray with a fervency. We can begin to pray with an assurance. Amen. We can begin to pray with an authority. Oh, I'm not talking about some silly bunch of nonsense that we think that we're commanding God. Amen. Come on now. But
right,
folks, we can come and say, Lord, I know your will.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We can ask with confidence, and when we do, he hears us. Amen. The Bible tells us that Elijah prayed earnestly. Amen. Same idea as fervent prayer. Amen. Earnest prayer. In other words, the Bible's telling us that Elijah's prayers were hot. They were too hot to handle. Amen. Hallelujah. I guarantee you that probably Ahab and Jezebel had a bunch of evil priests dancing around trying to reverse the thing. Come on now. But Elijah's prayers were too hot to handle. My God, I'd like to get to the place that my prayers were too hot, Brother Kyle, for the devil to handle. Hallelujah. Too hot for leaders and administrators who are opposed to God in this world. Amen. To handle. Come on now. Hallelujah. I forget who it was, one of the old time preachers. He said, amen, the prayers of one godly saint, amen, can accomplish more than all the round table discussions, amen, of the uppity ups in the world could ever do. Hallelujah. All that we'd get back to the place, amen, where people would know how to pray earnestly. Amen. Our sister mentioned the prophet Jeremiah earlier. Amen. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. What did he say? God said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Hallelujah. What a promise.
Yes.
What a promise. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, call.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
I like that story there, Black Bartimaeus. There he sits by the roadside. Amen. Jesus is passing by. You know the story. And he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, you old fool, be quiet. Would you quiet down? Hush it up. You're disturbing things. And the Bible says he cried all the more.
Yeah.
Brother Kyle, he said, I'm going to turn it up a notch.
Yeah.
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And if I remember the text correctly, the Bible says Jesus stood still.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm going to tell you, friend, when your prayers get down to the place, amen, that they are fervent, hallelujah, where they are earnest, amen, you'll cause the God of heaven to stop and give you his ear and his attention, amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's the kind of praying we need to see more of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, do away with all this miserable, half-hearted stuff that we do.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah, like we should
help us.
Pray.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He goes on here, and I'm nearly done here today. Amen. Not only is our prayer to be effectual, is it to do something in us first. Not only is it to be fervent, zealous, and hot, full of zeal, but it is to come from a righteous individual. Amen. So he says, Brother Hawk, what's it mean to be righteous? Well, the old English word is right wiseness. Amen. It means to be upright or correct in the eyes of God. Upright or correct in the eyes of God. Friend, initially we are made righteous at conversion as the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. Amen. But from that point forward, we are to walk in faith and in the Spirit and live in obedience to the Word of God, not in ourselves. Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not teaching you some kind of legalistic, works-oriented thing. Come on now. Amen. But we are to live righteous lives by the empowerment of the Spirit of God and faith and obedience to the Word of God. Amen. And as we will do that, As we will do that, amen, God will hear our prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend, if we will not live, if we will not live by God's revealed standard for our lives, God is not duty bound to hear us. Amen. Well, sometimes he's merciful, and I'm glad for that. But if we will not live righteous lives, amen, God has no responsibility to hear our prayers. Amen. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Amen. I like there in the book of Job, Satan is going before God, accusing, oh, there's nobody, God. There's nobody. Nobody out there that's righteous. Nobody's doing right. Amen. And God says to Satan, you forgot somebody. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. You forgot somebody. Amen. You forgot my servant Job. Amen. He is a man that escheweth evil. He's upright in my sight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God hears the cries and the prayers of the upright. Amen. For the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let me give you a few things here quickly and I'll be done. Amen. 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 We need to have in our lives, like I said, this fervency and this zeal. Amen. And there needs to be a righteous anger or an indignation about us. Amen. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Amen. Friend, do you feel any indignation over the wickedness of this world?
I sure do.
Amen. I'm not saying that, listen to me, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that indignation is focused necessarily at the individual.
That's right.
Amen. Because we know many of those individuals are nothing but puppets dancing on a stage that the master puppeteer is controlling their lives and they're just doing what he wants them to do.
Yeah.
Amen. But friend, we need to have a righteous indignation about us. Amen. That looks at our world and the injustices in it, the attacks of the enemy, amen, upon the lives of people, whether they believe or be believers or unbelievers. Amen. And friend, our prayers need to boil with a fervency.
Oh, come on.
Amen. Of a righteous indignation. And we say, devil, I'm sick and tired of what you are doing.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Satan, I recognize your work. I'm not ignorant of your devices. Amen. And I'm tired of what you're doing to my town. I'm tired of what you're doing to my community.
Come on.
I'm tired of what you're doing to my family. I'm tired, maybe, I'm just saying different things. I'm tired of what you're doing to some of the folks in the church, to the young people, to the marriages. Come on now.
Yeah,
Satan
come on.
Is attacking it all.
Right. Yeah.
I saw something the other day. One of the most popular toddler shows is now openly promoting the transgender lifestyle. Toddlers? Toddlers? Look how, what in the world do they even understand about that? You're quiet on me. Did I get on a subject that I shouldn't have?
No.
That's good.
Amen. What in the world does a toddler understand? Amen. And I watched a little clip from it, and they show these two men, you know, two daddies or two mommies or whatever. Come on now. And they're singing this little song. Oh, if you're wondering what you are, I can't remember it. Just look what you like. So in other words, if you're a little boy and you like to pick up a baby doll,
maybe you ain't really a little boy.
Hallelujah. Mm. Or if you're a little girl, amen, and you like to run a little truck and go like your brothers. I did that pretty good, didn't I? Sound like a Cummins diesel going down the road. If you're a little girl and you like to do that, maybe you're really a little boy. Oh my God. Why? would you try to influence the little innocent, harmless minds of a toddler? Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
And some indignation should stir up within us. Oh, you listen to Mohawk. I'm not talking about physical violence. Amen. Amen. Is that clear?
That's clear.
But there should be some indignation that stirs up against us.
Oh,
devil, you liar. You destroyer, you. Amen. And our prayers, amen, against such things, amen, should boil.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Boil. Until God intervenes. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes, friend, amen, our prayers need to have that zeal about them. Amen. Because we are passionate about a subject. Amen. Friend, we're different beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And each of us are passionate about different things. Amen. I know Brother Kyle, he was talking today, he's backlogged, but I know he's passionate about hunting. Amen. I agree with him. I just don't hardly have time to get out in the woods like I'd like to anymore. Man loves to hunt. Nothing wrong with that. As long as God's first. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But amen. Sister Eastman, do you enjoy hunting?
No, she's hanging her head down.
I can't see her sitting in tree stand. Come on now. I can't see her sitting in tree stand with a white bow. Amen. Decked out in camo, waiting for a buck to walk in her seat. Can you? You know, she's hanging her head down. Amen. And I can't see her in a thrift store. Amen. I can see her at the local ice cream shop. She would build that one to us. Hallelujah. You got something in common with Joe Biden. Biden, you like ice cream. And we're passionate about different things, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
And even in our Christian spirit experience, God puts different passions in us. Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody in this church might be passionate about ministering to young people. Pray with a fervency about it. Come on now. Sunday school teachers, don't just get in there and tell them a story. Amen. Of Jonah and the well and Noah all over again. Get a passion about it.
Yeah.
Pray for those young people. Somebody over here might be I know they're again. Sorry, Brother Kyle, picking on you. I believe this man has a passion for prison work. Thank God. Those men desperately need, amen, to hear it. Amen. I pray to God that Brother Kyle has a fervent, zealous prayer about him as he thinks about those men or women, whoever he's touching. Come on now. Amen. Somebody over here might have a passion, amen, to go into the nursing home, play the guitar, and sing to those older people. My God, I pray to God you've got a passion about that. Come on now. Amen. Somebody over here say, might say, Brother Hawk, God's really stirred me up. Amen. To pray for a revival in the churches of America. Amen. Let that passion cause you to pray with a zeal. Somebody over here might say, Brother Hawk, God's really stirred me. Amen. And given me a passion and desire. Amen. To pray for the leaders of this nation. Let that passion burn in you. Pray fervently. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Get a deep concern about it that causes you to pray with that kind of zeal. But here, friend, this last one, all of us can do this. We all need to pray with a fervency and a zeal, being full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Whatever, come on now, whatever you're praying about. Hallelujah. Whatever you're praying about, let it be full of Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
Why, Brother Hawk? Because my Bible teaches me that it is the Spirit of God that stands in the presence of God the Father, and He knows the mind and the will of God the Father. And when He prays through us, He is praying the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. Friend, there are plenty of times I pray in English and I pray with my understanding, Brother Kyle. But I'm going to tell you something. I love it when the Holy Ghost comes down upon me in my place of prayer, and all of a sudden the Spirit takes over, and there's a fervency and there's a zeal that only the Holy Ghost can give. And I may not know what I'm saying exactly, Brother Easton. Oh, I might know a little bit in my mind who I'm praying for in the situation. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost just turns our brain off and we go into some limbo state, you know. I might know the need. And I know, I might know, but I might not know the exact answer. And I might not know how God wants to do it, but I'm going to tell you the third person of the Godhead does. Yes. He knows exactly what the mind of the Father is. And when He comes to pray through us, whether it be with tongues, whether it would be with groanings that cannot be uttered. And friend, I want to tell you something. Sometimes, amen, plenty of times, I've even felt Him anoint me in English to pray also. Come on, I'm not ruining that out. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows how to pray through us.
Yes, He does.
He knows how to pray through us. Oh, praise God. I'll never forget growing up as a young man, away from the Lord, not living for the Lord. And Brother Cal, I tell you one of the things, when I come home and hear my dear old Pentecostal mama praying in other tongues, you talk about conviction. Come on now. Brother Easton, you talk about knowing that I was wrong. I had no idea what she was saying, but I tell you what, the Holy Ghost took it and said, you're doing wrong. You know you're living wrong. Hallelujah. Dear friend, tonight I want to stir you. I want to challenge you. We need to be praying people. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we could go on for weeks talking about different ones in the Bible to pray. Amen. The things that Jesus taught us. Amen. How to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. We could talk for a long time, but I want to focus on this tonight. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous individual availeth what?
Much.
Much. Are we seeing what we want accomplished in prayer? Nobody's answering. You don't have to. Are we seeing what we want accomplished in prayer? If not, maybe we need to step it backwards just a little bit and say, okay, Lord, am I following these guidelines? Am I doing this right? Amen.
Amen.
Don't you dare just write it off and say, well, that must have been the will of God. That is such a half-hearted, uncommitted mentality. Amen. Well, that didn't happen. It just must have been the will of God. Baloney. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Finish it. On earth as it is in heaven. There's nothing that hinders the will of God from being done in heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
Satan tried it and the Lord said, goodbye. Amen. I saw heaven fall from heaven as lightning. Down he went. Come on now. Nothing stops the will of God from being done in heaven. But Jesus said that we're to pray that on earth His will would be done as it is in heaven. That tells me that God's will is not always being done on this earth, but what will get it to the place that it is? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer that's like I described to you tonight. Amen. Let's stand. Well, I don't want to labor you any longer tonight. Boy, I could go on and talk about Jesus using that word importunity. Amen. Asking over and over again. Amen. To the place that you're actually annoying. Come on now. God doesn't mind, Brother Eastman. Amen. He doesn't mind. You aren't annoying Him the slightest if you answer over, if you ask over and over and over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many would say here, Brother Hawk, I want to do a better job of praying?
Oh, help me, Jesus.
I want to be a praying individual in this last hour. Yeah. Hallelujah. While others are caught up in everything they want to be caught up in, I want to be a praying individual. Could we come to talk to the Lord here tonight? Amen. And what I want you to do as you come around these altars is just make a fresh commitment to be a praying individual and to do it God's way. Would you do that here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, use us. Lord, use us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, use us to pray. Use us to intercede, Lord. Use us, God, hallelujah, to see your will done on this earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you today, Lord. Thank you today, God. Thank you for these good people, Lord. Thank you for their lives, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you today, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for Brother Kyle, Lord. I believe he's already a man of prayer. But God, I pray you let him take it up a level. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Help him to find himself interceding before the face of God. Hallelujah, Lord. Tearing down strongholds, Lord. Hallelujah. Praying the will of God into existence. Hallelujah. Sing his prayers. Rescue people. Hallelujah. From eternal damnation, God. Use him as a praying man. Hallelujah, God. In a mighty way, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this young man, God. Hallelujah. Father, you said, son, the little children, and forbid them not, for such was the kingdom of heaven, God. You said that we could have faith like a child. My God, would you use this young man? And I pray that even as a young man, God, that you would give him a burden to pray, that you would give him a faith that when he calls on the name of the Lord, that he can believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. And as he grows, God, I pray that his prayer life would grow and that he would be an intercessor. Hallelujah. Take his life